Hundreds of firefighters have worked through the night as they continue to battle bushfires in New South Wales and in Queensland. At least 10 homes have been destroyed on the Sunshine Coast, where hundreds of people spent the night in evacuation centres. Residents there are talking about their lucky escapes.
It was pretty intense because it was only like 100 metres behind our property, but with the southerly wind it was taking it north, so we knew we were safe because we couldn't even smell smoke. But, you know, a couple of hundred metres up the road, it had already jumped David Lowe way.
I thought I'd walk here this morning and see a lot more devastation, but the services have done an amazing job, you know, in protecting and saving what us people could treasure as our homes and our properties.
Those are two residents there forced to evacuate their homes on Queensland's Sunshine Coast. Meanwhile, experts are warning Australia must brace for more severe weather events. Stuart Ellis is the Chief Executive of the Australasian Fire and Emergency Service Authority and a board member of the Bushfire and Natural Hazards Cooperative Research Centre. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Morning, Hamish.
This early and brutal start to the fire season seems to have taken many by surprise. Are you surprised?
No, we are surprised. Certainly in the experience of our fire agencies, in their living experience, the severity of the fires has been surprising, particularly in Queensland, where in the experience of many people, they haven't had fires like this in the time that they've lived in the areas where the fires are occurring.
The New South Wales Rural Fire Service Deputy Commissioner Rob Rogers described some of the blazes as just absolutely enormous fires. Can you place these fires in the context of what we've witnessed before?
Well, I think in the context of a midsummer fire, yes. In the context of fires at the start of spring, no. And that's what's really pulled everyone up is the severity and the intensity of these fires occurring in the first weeks of spring.
What is it that causes such extreme fires early in spring? Is it the fuel load on the ground? Is it other factors? Can you point simply to something causal here?
Well, I think certainly the dryness is a very significant factor, and in Queensland, the humidity has been in single figures, which is unusual. We experienced that last year in November when Queensland experienced very severe fires, and the humidity is a very good indicator of potential fire intensity. Fuel in those areas where these fires are, apart from the bushland, in the grassland, there is very little fuel because the drought has been so severe. So the dryness is a critical factor. And the winds, a lot of these fire events have been wind-driven, which have caused the severity that we're seeing.
Different parts of the country have different policies on hazard reduction burning, and at times like this, we always get flooded with messages from listeners sort of pointing out different policies in different places and saying that this is an issue. Is it as far as you're concerned?
Well, from our perspective, we don't know of a better way to reduce fuel loads in bushland than fuel reduction burning. It's historically and scientifically been shown to us to be a highly effective method of doing it. The issue for us right now, Hamish, is that often we do fuel reduction burning in spring. And we're in spring now, and we won't have firefighters out there lighting prescribed fire at the current time because the conditions are just unacceptable.
But are there places where we're effectively not doing enough, in your view, quite apart from this particular scenario?
I think we would be keen to be promoting more prescribed fire. We know it's a very significant community issue. It's a health issue with smoke. But our preference is that we light fires at a time of our choosing and not wait for these significant fires like we're seeing at a time we're not choosing, when there are significant fuel loads in bush.
Your organisation updated its position on climate change last year. What is it and why was that necessary?
Well, we wanted to address climate change because it does have an impact on disaster risk from our perspective, and we take advice from the Bureau, the CSIRO, and other leading scientific experts, and the advice to us is that it exacerbates the frequency and severity of these events, and we wanted to acknowledge that.
And I know one of the things that you're looking at, for example, is the increase in liability exposure for emergency services, because the insurance sector is already moving pretty rapidly into adapting to climate change. What are the sorts of things that the sector is doing, believes need to be done, so that we can respond effectively?
Well, I think broadly what we are very keen to promote is a more resilient Australia. What we see consistently is that emergency services alone cannot protect every house and every property, and promoting a more resilient community. There's a lot of research that highlights that strong communities survive natural disasters and indeed recover from natural disasters best. So that's a area where we're very keen to promote, and we work with the federal government, with the Australian Institute of Disaster Resilience, to promote school education, community leadership, knowledge sharing to do that. Another area where we are operating is looking at things nationally, and indeed right now we are planning the movement of resources from other states into Queensland. New South Wales has been doing cross-border operations, but we had a meeting of the chiefs yesterday afternoon and identified that we now need to start moving resources from further south.
Can we just be clear about this, though? Because I think we all understand that you can't link any particular disaster or event to climate change, but that climate change is clearly having an impact on the frequency and intensity of things like bushfires. What is your position on that? I mean, when people ask, why are we having these extreme blazes now, this early in spring, do you say this is as a result of climate change?
I don't think we can be that emphatic, but I think our view is that climate change exacerbates the frequency and severity of these events. It worsens these events. And Australia's had a rising temperature over the last century. It's continuing to rise, and that's going to have an impact on natural disasters.
And do you think government at a federal level is awake to that, is embracing that reality?
Look, we are involved with briefings with government at a federal and state level through our agencies on a very regular basis. So, that's a government issue. We're emergency managers focused on mitigating and responding to these events. I think people are pretty aware of the overall impact.
I want to play you a short clip of audio from when we spoke to the relevant Minister for Natural Disaster and Emergency Management, David Littleproud, yesterday on this topic.
Well, we've been adapting to a changing climate since we first settled this country, and we'll have to continue to do that, and do that with the best science we've got available at the time to make sure we keep our Australians safe. Whether it's man-made or not is irrelevant.
Is that the sort of feedback that you get from government in the planning part of the process?
Well, I think the issue with planning, the actual focus should be with local government, not actually with federal government, because local governments authorise where people live. And what we're finding with an increasing population is that people are moving into traditionally more hazardous areas, whether it be around hinterland or urban fringe areas, where these fires are now, or whether it be in floodplains when we have flooding events. So from a planning perspective, local government needs to be very much engaged in considering the impacts of this.
Stuart Ellis, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Hamish.
Stuart Ellis is Chief Executive of the Australasian Fire and Emergency Service Authority and a board member of the Bushfire and Natural Hazards CRC.